Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
On track after another game in San Antonio where you had a chance to win and down the stretch it didn't go. And I've heard all you guys talk, and I just want to shift it there before we run out of time. I think you can take some good things out of that road trip. Obviously, you beat three teams with under 500 records.
Snap the California streak.
Snap the California streak. All three are kind of right now in that category of, this is a mess, what are we going to do? But I think they showed again they could compete with teams like San Antonio, who, by the way, goes to Orlando last night and beats them on the second night of a back-to-back. So that Spurs team is no fluke. They got a ton of young talent. They got a ton of guys that can put the ball in the bucket. You know, they're playing without Wembanyama and Castle and still have enough. But you got to execute down the stretch. And, Jaren had a bad night. And when that happens, that's tough to overcome. But hopefully they can find that footing there. So we'll see.
God, Zach's been unbelievable, Eric. Kind of changed my whole perception of him. I mean, I was skeptical, very skeptical. And in the last however long he's been back, it's just completely changed. I mean, not just in the immediate, but you think about, you know, if this guy's able to stay healthy, the type of career he could have, if he's able to just keep stacking performances like the ones he's had these last couple weeks, I mean, it's unreal.
He's a monster. And I will say this, when they drafted him, I think I even said this on your show, Jeffrey. I'm not sure if you were there. When they were going into the draft, I said, if there's one thing that his college career tells me, is that he obviously is willing to put in the work. Because watching him from the time he was a freshman, because of course they're going to show him. And I have a minor connection to Purdue, so I've always kind of followed them. And I'm watching him from freshman to sophomore to junior, and then junior to senior year, and his movements and his fluidity. And I was like, you know what? He's a lot more mobile and agile than people realize. You watch him play that last year, and I use this example a lot too when I talk about him. I can remember it like it was yesterday. Sitting in a hotel room in Oklahoma City, right across the street from the arena, waiting for our game to get going. Work was done, and Wisconsin and Purdue were on CBS. And I am watching this kid basically have everything thrown at him aside from chairs and microphones. I mean, they were just beating the snot out of him. And he finally had enough. And some big center from Wisconsin who wasn't going to go anywhere, you know, a typical Wisconsin-type player, big, get you rebounds, that type of thing. I'm not knocking a guy that played D1, but just not as athletic. He's just hanging on his arm. And Zach Edey makes a drop-step move, goes to the rim and dunks, and then just shoves the guy out of the way. And I went, okay, maybe we got something here. I think we see that the ankle last year was a chronic issue for him. Getting that fixed and getting that right has moved him around. I see him running the floor better than I've seen him run the floor during his time here. He's a big presence in the middle. Defenses are totally changing what they do, which is opening things up for other guys like Jalen Wells. Now the next step is to get he and Jaren on the same page in this new system that they're working with under Coach Isolo, and see if that can go the right way. But he's been fantastic, Cobb. You're 100% right. And, you know, look, he's a real quiet guy. He's just, that's who he is, and I get why. I mean, you're that size all your life, and obviously you're probably tired of the questions, and you're tired of when you played, guys just doing nothing but fouling you. But when he kind of recognizes you, trusts you in his own way, you know, he opens up a little bit. And I just saw the piece from Drew Hill, or a quote from Drew Hill, that our trainer, Eric Schmidt, who's a great dude, one of our strength guys, named him the Big Zamboni. So he wants to be called Zambo now, which is great. I love it because it shows his character. And I'm not sure if it became public knowledge or not, but he took us all to Game 7. And this is not why I'm speaking glowingly of him. But in all my years of, and I feel like Ice-T on Law & Order SVU, in all my years of being around the NBA, you know, before here, Sacramento, I have never heard of a player, including like everybody on the travel party that wanted to go do something like that. You've heard of dinners, you've heard of things like that, you know, teams doing Thanksgiving dinners. To open up your wallet and go, hey, if you guys, I know you guys are baseball guys. He sent the team, the organizer basically back to talk to us. She goes, Zach knows you guys are baseball guys, so if you want to go, he'll get you a ticket. And I was like, what? What did you just say?
Does that come with citizenship?
I was like, yeah, if that's the offer, I'm not going to say no. I know Fish ain't going to say no. So we were just blown away. And I see him now with his teammates. I see more joy and laughter with him in terms of he seems to be enjoying it more. He's more comfortable. And I think his future is really, really bright. You've got a huge building block right there where, yeah, the game right now is a lot of speed, a lot of pace, a lot of spacing out to the perimeter. But you got a guy like that, you make teams adjust to you, you can still put some points on the board. So I hope the run continues, obviously, because it's good for the team and it's good for him. But I think it also is a testament to how hard he works. And everybody in those coaches' offices that are still there, that were there before these guys, have all said the same thing about him. He is a student of the game. He wants to be a great NBA basketball player. And it sounds so dumb, because you're like, well, doesn't everybody want to be a great NBA basketball player? They may in their heads, but how you follow through with that is what the difference is. And Zach follows through with it. So, yeah, he's been fantastic. He's been terrific.
All right, Eric, have a good call tomorrow night.
All right, guys, have a great weekend.
That is Eric Hasztime, Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer. When we come back, let's get into the list. Let's talk about the Saturday aspect of championship weekend. Also, a couple of notes that I wanted to share with Cobb on – We might have to have a bet on Saturday night. There's something that I want to bring everyone's attention to. So we'll discuss all that when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Add some sparkle to the holidays with Robert Irwin Jewelers. Whether you're celebrating one of life's biggest milestones, like an engagement, or simply making the holidays unforgettable, Robert Irwin Jewelers has the perfect gift for you and your loved ones. Some of the top holiday picks include the tennis bracelets. They're one of the hottest gift items of the season. You can get a stunning 3-carat lab-grown diamond tennis bracelet for just $11.99. But hurry on in, because it's for a limited time only and only while supplies last. Also, with your purchase of the tennis bracelet, you'll get a free pair of matching diamond stud earrings. They also have fantastic diamond necklaces. You can dazzle her and light up the room with a 10-carat lab-grown diamond tennis necklace. Brilliant, timeless, and sparkling end-to-end, and priced to impress at only $39.99. You can also make the Christmas season magical with an engagement. Go check out all of their handcrafted engagement rings, or you can customize and build your own never-worn-before engagement ring over at Robert Irwin Jewelers. And you can do so with peace of mind with a meant-to-be guarantee. That means for any reason, if you're unhappy with your purchase, you can have a full 365 days to return it at the full purchase price. Also, if you shop now, you can pay later with 12 months interest-free financing, or take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. Robert Irwin Jewelers is now open on Sundays through Christmas, and you can visit any of their 5 locations or shop online at rijewelers.com. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, all at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Let's get into the list. Championship Saturday. All right, Cobb, as we roll through Saturday. So on the agenda, we have at 11 a.m., we have Texas Tech and BYU. I believe they're playing for the championship belt, right? Doesn't the WWE send them a belt?
That sounds like something Brett Yormark would do.
I'm pretty sure they get a WWE championship belt. I have not seen, George, could you look up who the fantastic, they're big on the concert. Let's see. Let's see if either of us have heard of whoever is going to be performing at halftime.
I'm just glad they're playing the Big 12 championship game in Texas and haven't moved it to Saudi Arabia. Have you seen that there's a new college basketball November tournament that's going to be in the Middle East next year?
For the record, it's in Dubai, and I had not seen it. George told me, oh, here's a fun one. The Royal Palms Classic. Yes, it will be in Dubai. That definitely screams the Big 12.
I have the Big 12.
All right, who's the concert?
Halftime show. It is John Party.
I assume that's country.
I've heard him. That's
country?
Yeah, he's a country artist. Yeah, he's probably like, I don't know.
But Party is not the same thing as Hardy, right?
Not quite.
Hardy, I think, is a rebel.
They're calling this the Big 12 Day Party.
Or Darty with
no,
Party?
No. It's just Party. It's not a Darty. Disappointing.
Also at 11 a.m. over in Detroit, we got Miami of Ohio, Western Michigan, the MAC championship game. Miami of Ohio, despite losing to both Toledo and Ohio, who they were tied with in the standings, thanks to MAC tiebreaker policies, which may make less sense than the ACC tiebreaker policies, Miami of Ohio getting in. Also a reminder, I think the MAC underdog is like 80%.
Yeah, I'm going Miami of Ohio. So we got 2 7-5 teams playing for conference championships this weekend. How about that?
Well, when you have to consider that they're probably going to have four scheduled losses because they're always just going to, like, I feel like the MAC now has just decided they're just going to be bye games.
That's true. I mean, that's par for the course in the MAC, but pretty embarrassing for the ACC.
At 3 o'clock, we've got Alabama, Georgia. At 3:30, we have on CBS the Tigers and Baylor. 7 o'clock, we've got Indiana, Ohio State, and then we also have Duke and UVA. Also at 7 o'clock, I need to bring your attention. Ole Miss over on the Cock is heading to St. John's. I've not been able to confirm, but I've also not been able to get it denied. Chris Beard might have taken the locker room away from his team. Taking the locker room away, making them wash their own clothes. They can't take showers at the facility. They got to wear the stink. I think out of principle, we might have to take the points tomorrow night or Saturday night.
Wow. This is like Pat Summitt type of stuff. Like, this is the stuff that Pat Summitt made the Lady Vols do in like the 1980s. Like, you're going to walk home. Yeah, I mean, this is crazy. Chris Beard is, I mean, this isn't getting a lot of national run, but it might here soon, because if he keeps up this level of furor, like, it's going to be a national story.
I guess the one, before everyone goes and runs to bet Ole Miss, I should also point out, they're playing horrific basketball. They lost to Utah, who I thought was god-awful. They went out to Palm Springs. They played Iowa. And also, Cobb, remember how I used to tell you one of my, like, biggest, like, hurdles mentally to overcome was how Iowa football was so drastically different than Iowa basketball, where Iowa football refused to play offense under Kirk Ferentz, and they refused to play defense? Well, now I guess as Iowa's offense is gone from, like, god-awful to average, maybe, passable in football, they are that Drake style that they play, man. That is, they did actually pick the complete stylistic difference from Fran McCaffrey.
No doubt.
Sturts is still breaking news. Sturts still a really good player.
Yeah, he is. Although last night, Iowa started out Big Ten play two nights ago and just got crushed by Michigan State.
Because I looked at it, I was like, wait, there's Big Ten conference games going on?
Yeah, they do that. They got to get their 20 games in. They got a 20-game league slate, so they got to start them in December.
That's not right.
They've done that for a few years now.
I know, but it always takes you. I feel like they creep up a little bit earlier every year.
Well, they typically try to avoid doing marquee games early. Like, you're not going to have, I mean, most often you're not going to have, like, you know, Indiana against Purdue in early December or something like that. But they go ahead and get some games under their belt early.
3:59 for Iowa in a tempo.
Oh gosh.
They are playing some like Rick Barnes thinks they play too slow.
Tennessee's got some troubles too right now, man. They lost at Syracuse the other night. That was bad. I mean, that's a bad loss.
Is Syracuse better though? Like I found my
Leading scorer was out. I mean, Donnie Freeman didn't even play. And they still lost that game as a 7.5 point favorite. Nate Ament is a great NBA draft prospect. I don't think he's well suited to follow in the footsteps of Dalton Knecht and Chaz Lanier and put a team on his back and go and win games for you in hostile environments. He literally looks like a child. I mean, and when you compare him to these other stud 5-star freshmen right now, Cam Boozer, Mikael Brown Jr., I mean, there's a long list of them right now in college basketball. Nate Ament is not in that top 1A tier with the Boozers of the world. He is good, but he is not good enough to lead Tennessee to an SEC championship. Now, the one saving grace for Tennessee is that who else, as we discussed earlier, in the league looks great right now. I mean, Florida's already got 3 losses. Alabama's okay, but not elite like they have been. So it's like, I mean, that gives them a chance, but
okay, I need to ask you this. Are we buying into Vandy?
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you mentioned Vandy, man. I think they're legit. I mean, not because they have any one great, like, future All-American or NBA draft prospect on their team, but they're a wagon, and they're deep. They got dudes who can shoot it. They're going to space you out and, you know, drive it and kick it. And, I mean, they're Vanderbilt is really, really good.
So the Tigers will host Vanderbilt, I guess, 2 weeks from yesterday. So the Tigers and Baylor, they will do battle Saturday at 3:30. So we got a look at the Tigers last night. I think the biggest headline from last night, if you make 60% of your threes and a half, you're probably pretty good. You're going to probably win that game.
How about Aaron Bradshaw getting to the free throw line 10 times?
Well, no. I thought he sat Bradshaw.
That was a DNP.
Yeah. Was the big.
You're right. I'm looking at the SIU.
Yeah. No, he sat Bradshaw last night. He might have been deep sixed.
Scylla.
Yeah.
Scylla also.
Scylla got 2 minutes and Bradshaw was benched.
Oh, man. Sports Reference gave me the wrong box score. That's on me. Okay.
No.
I was going to say.
I don't know because this
What's that rotation like right now? What was the big man rotation last night?
So Majak.
Majak started and probably. I mean, I didn't get to watch it. How much did he play?
I've told you I've been Majak curious and I'm still Majak curious. Like,
I think he looks really good. I mean, from what I've seen.
The question is also, Thedford got a lot of run too, but then Thedford went down with a knee. So, how serious? I don't know. I mean, right now the guys he seems to trust the most are Doug, obviously. Majak has been his main big. Hassan Abdul-Hakim was like the main wing.
Wow, Majak was second in minutes last night, 26 minutes behind Doug McDaniel. That's crazy. But, I mean, honestly, man, so he had 13-6, a couple of steals, 4 of 7 from the
field. He was diving on the floor even in like the last 3 minutes.
Well, his motor was obvious. Like the first time you saw him play, it was like, okay, this guy. I mean, so in that way, he's the antithesis of Aaron Bradshaw in terms of the motor and how hard he plays. So, wow. Okay. So they really are starting to hone that rotation down a little bit, trim it down. I mean, if there's
we might have had a breakthrough also last night. Penny did admit, but unironically, like sometimes when he cuts the rotation down, it's better. And we're like, no, duh.
Yeah, well, they have to at this point. I mean, if they want to have any chance of building a resume, I mean, these next few weeks are everything.
All right, so here's the question. I'll ask you, and granted, we have no idea because we don't know what everyone else is doing. But Jeff this morning put me on the spot with Baylor at home on Saturday, at Louisville a week from Saturday, hosting Vandy the following Wednesday, and then at Starkville to take on the Bulldogs the following Saturday. Of those 4 games, if Memphis were to play their way into if they were going to play their way to an at-large bid, how many of those games would they have to win?
They'd have to go 3-1. Mississippi State's also not going to get
you. I think you're probably right. Because that the other thing, though, is part of my not really willing to give up on the Tigers yet was I kind of was like, I think Ole Miss is like a tournament team, and if you made me guess right now, Ole Miss is not a tournament team.
Well, and San Francisco has been really struggling too, so that one's not holding up. The loss to Ole Miss, I mean, Ole Miss doesn't look like anything. I mean, it just makes you, man, if you could have gotten that Wake Forest game, like that would have made such a difference at this point. I will say this, 3-1 if the one loss is to Louisville. However, if you go on the road and beat Louisville and you beat Vanderbilt, I mean, that Louisville win, that's not just a quad one. That's going to be a quad one A+, like in a tier of its own. Winning at Louisville would be one of the top 10 victories that anyone has in college basketball this year. I realize they lost last night to Arkansas, but Louisville is on track to be like a 27-4 type of team because they're going to be that difficult to beat in the ACC. So that one could change everything. If you go into the Yum and beat that team, okay, now we're talking, right? But in all likelihood, I don't see them winning that game. However, Baylor is beatable. Mississippi State is bad. They're very beatable. And Vandy, I think, is a wagon, but you get them at your place. And like I said, they don't have that like that one clear-cut star who's going to kill you. So, like, you know, Memphis could be able to hang in that game.
All right, then the other things that I was thinking about. So as we turn our attention back to Championship Saturday, are we 100% certain if BYU wins that both BYU and Texas Tech are in?
I think so, because I don't think Texas Tech would be penalized so harshly for losing.
Okay, so see if you buy this, and I don't want this to be considered a cop-out, but I understand that game was in Lubbock, but the biggest problem that I had was like I watched that game, and I was like, I don't care what the number is next time. I'm taking Texas Tech again because there's no way that BYU can score on them. So the only way I see them losing the game is if Baron Morton, who's playing through a broken leg, if he gets hurt and he's out, I can see where the committee goes, well, without Baron Morton, they lost to Arizona State and they lost to BYU. But when they have Baron Morton, they're 20-point, they beat everybody by 20. I guess I can see that. The biggest problem that I have is I'm really struggling to get to the point where BYU wins this game.
Yeah, I'd be pretty surprised. It was outright dominance the first time they played. Texas Tech's been crushing everybody. And, I mean, Baron Morton's been managing the injury pretty well. So even if Texas Tech did lose, it would be a close loss. There's no way they're getting blown out by BYU. And if you lose a close conference championship game, there's no way you're dropping from 4 to 11, which is what would have to happen. So, I mean, I think Texas Tech is in no matter what. Now, I mean, I understand like that rationale. Like a lot of teams on the bubble would love to see Texas Tech take an L and get penalized for it. I just don't see them dropping that far. But really, I mean, if you look at Texas Tech's resume, that BYU win is their best win. So, like, if you then lose to that same team,
that was my only thing. It's like, man, I mean, I guess the kill shot of of Utah is a good win. I guess
it's a light resume. It's the advanced metrics. I think that favor Texas Tech because they
blow people
tend
out.
To kill everybody. Yeah. I mean, and it's just kind of the same thing with Notre Dame. It's like, okay, you have nothing on your resume, but man, you are passing that eye test, you know, to a T right now. So I just can't see it. I can't see the only chaos I can see really resulting from the Big 12 championship game is BYU winning. Therefore, the Big 12 becomes a two-bid league, and then the bubble gets put on even a tighter squeeze there.
Okay, I was also thinking about this. So we have Bama and Georgia at 3 o'clock. Let's say Georgia continues the Bama heebie-jeebies. I actually think I think it ends this weekend. I think Georgia's going to win, but I thought Georgia's going to win like the last four times. And I think I've pointed out to you, I think this Alabama team is DeBoer's last team at Washington, the 23 Washington team. And if you think back, Kalen DeBoer went up against Dan Lanning three times. He was 3-0, including a Pac-12 championship game in which he was a 9-point underdog. Everybody thought Oregon's the best team. They've been rolling. They'll be fine. Like, this does mirror that, because obviously Lanning and Kirby's relationship. I just think Georgia's been playing a lot better, and I think Alabama's kind of been getting away with it to a certain degree. So, but I still, this would be my larger point. If I'm wrong and Bama wins, because it's only a 2.5-point spread, if you're Indiana and Ohio State, do you sit there and say, like, hey, man, like, let's just rest everybody?
I kind of thought about that. Do both those teams not already have a first-round bye locked up?
I think if Bama were to win, I guess you could make the argument if Texas Tech rolls, Texas Tech could get the two. But it's almost like if Georgia loses, it's just like Ohio State and Indiana are still going to be 1-2.
Well, the reason why you try in the Big Ten championship game, if you're Ohio State or Indiana, is because you want your guy to win the Heisman. That's what this game is for. It's for the Heisman Trophy, not for the
playoffs. Well, and the bonuses for coaches.
Coaches' bonuses. You get to hold a trophy.
Do we know if any NIL contracts, do they have championship game bonuses?
Not yet, but they might. I mean, actually, that's interesting. Not that I'm aware of, but it would be smart to incentivize that. But that's, to me, the most interesting thing about the Big Ten championship game, because you look at the Heisman Trophy odds, and Fernando Mendoza's right there with Diego Pavia as the favorite, but Julian Sayin's in the mix, and then, but what if Sayin throws four touchdowns and they all go to Jeremiah Smith? And then is Jeremiah Smith your Heisman Trophy winner?
Sayin's got to be smarter than that. You got to get two to Tate and two to Sayin.
Right. Exactly.
Two to Tate and two to Smith.
No, exactly. But that, to me, is the most fascinating subplot. Like, if I'm a Vandy fan, I'm hoping for the under here. I'm hoping for a defensive slugfest.
Your coworker Bud Elliott threw out a bet on either Monday or Wednesday. If you really want to bet Diego, see if your book will take Big Ten title game under with Diego to win the Heisman. So parlay it.
Exactly.
I
think there's some real intelligence behind that. Going back to Georgia, Alabama, though, I will say, like, Georgia, I tend to agree, like, they've looked really good as of late. But in the second half against Georgia Tech, I felt like they were a different team without Drew Bobo, and I don't think he's going to play. So that offensive line is kind of in flux a little bit, which gives me some worry because, I mean, Gunnar Stockton played the worst game of his season, really, against Georgia Tech. And I don't know if that was like a, hey, let's just get through this game and just survive and get to the SEC championship or what, because that was not an impressive showing by Georgia, and they didn't come out of that game unscathed either.
No, and they tried to, like, even in the second half, this wasn't like they were trying to, like, make it a 3-score game, and, like, they couldn't. So one of my best friends in the world is, like, lifelong Georgia fan, and he just has the Alabama heebie-jeebies, and he's just telling everyone, just take Bama, they own us. He's like, we've played 6 times, we've had the better team pretty much every time, and we're 1-5, to which I said they're due. But his other big point is, and this, he's a smart football guy, his biggest point is losing Bobo was a big deal in his mind.
Yeah, it was. I mean, he's one of the veteran anchors of their offensive line. That offensive line's been in flux all season long, and now you remove him from the mix, and I do think it makes life a little bit harder on that Georgia offense. And then
Bama's kind of banged up too, though. Like, Jeremy Bernard seems hurt. Williams, I don't know what's going on there, but he's either hurt or he's just like they're
disappeared.
Not like they barely play him.
And so it does raise the question, if Georgia were to just completely obliterate Alabama, at that point, do the bubble teams really try to, like, launch a campaign against Alabama? Because Alabama would have.
Does Sankey allow that?
Well, I mean, Texas, Sark wouldn't be allowed to go out there and say Alabama can't be in the playoff, but Miami would certainly try to make that point, and Notre Dame would certainly try and make that point, and Vanderbilt would say, well, hey, look, this team isn't the same team that beat us. They're struggling now, you know? So, like, I don't know, but I just think it's worth monitoring. Like, if that game gets out of hand, does Alabama's, like, vice grip on a at-large bids start to get a little waffly.
Yeah, and I struggle with – I think Georgia's going to win, but I struggle thinking that Georgia's going to do like what they did at Texas. Like, I struggle with that.
Oh, I'd love it if they went for an onside kick in the third quarter of that game.
Listen, yeah. I can tell you my wallet would love it because I know which side I can already tell you I'm already going to be on. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about that Tiger coaching search with Jason Smith when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Jason Smith is the host of the Jason and John Show weekdays right here on 92.9 FM ESPN from 11 until 2. Follow him on the Everything app at JasonSmith929. Jason, have you settled on a favorite candidate for the Tiger football job?
Oh, yeah. I mean, easily my favorite. I want Dan Mullen. I don't know if Memphis has the gumption to do such a thing. I'm reminded of a time where they wanted to buy their way into the Big 12 and make a statement to the rest of the college athletic world that this we're not just good enough. We'll put our money where our mouth is. And I just think symbolically, if you're willing to do that, you should be willing to make a move like paying the $4 million. I think we read it's not seven, it's four with where the date is. At least that's what we settled on was factual. And then more than obviously the 3.5 that he makes right now in UNLV. But I don't think you miss with Dan Mullen. Now, we had Dan Walken on this week, and he thinks Dan Mullen's best days, he seemed to indicate he thinks Dan Mullen's best days are behind him. The knock, and Jeffrey, you know this better than anybody, you can spit it out faster than I can, has always been, well, he's not a hit-the-ground-running guy. He's not a recruit guy. He'll coach him up, right? Well,
yeah, he's a scheme guy, good football coach. But, I mean, you're at a job
Dan's known that.
Yeah.
Right. Dan got back in, and he's known what the reputation of him is in terms of the jobs that he doesn't have anymore, Florida, that recruiting, all that. And I just wonder, are we talking about a guy who – is, and you can compare it, is it Tubby Smith where he's just looking for that final payday and I'll work my way, right? I don't need to change. Or is it a guy like Lane Kiffin? And I'm not comparing to Lane, they'll do what Lane's doing, but my point is you're in it to sort of, you know, to in a way come back and recycle your career, and you're fired. There is a fire in your belly to do that. And I think we saw Lane with the way he built back up, you know, to hell, becoming the hottest candidate in the world after his time at Ole Miss. If Dan's got that kind of fire to get back up, then I want him. And I think it's worth paying the price. But that said, I know there's a financial reality right now, and you were just paying Ryan Silverfield, what, 2.2? I think I'm not worried about that as much as I think the end of that deal was going to get up to 2.8, 2.9. And if Ryan was winning conference championships, he'd probably already, you know, be at least highest paid in group of five. My point is it just feels like the resources to do a move like that are there. And if you say we're top of group of five in terms of our investment level in football and the way we're this new standard we're going to have, that would represent that kind of approach, symbolic. So if you went for Dan, because I don't think Dan Mullen misses. I think he brings the quarterback. I think he brings probably more than that. But more so, I mean, I think about the excitement level. You know, Jerry Mack's probably bring a quarterback that's good enough, too. We were just scouting him out. The one at Kennesaw State's pretty darn good. Would take him, and Jerry Mack's been a CEO and everything. There's a lot to like there. But Dan Mullen in this area, hiring him in Memphis, you think about season tickets, that kind of thing, the immediate pop, it'd all be there. I think you'd make up some of what you're spending just in terms of excitement and holy cow at the press conference in terms of Tigers fans. That said, you know, some have referred to what I'm saying as a pipe dream. Memphis is not going to do that. They're not going to pay that money. And maybe it is. But they were willing to pay between $200 and $250 million to get into the Big 12 with a no-strings-attached deal that says you can kick us out and keep our money, 5 years, whatever that part of it was. I mean, you're going to go, you know, the same old way at a time that we feel like is as critical as ever, what we've called the biggest hire in Memphis Athletics Department history because of this era of college athletics and the fact that you've got to push football out front. You know, Jerry Mack can probably get it done. And I'm probably, by the time, you know, if that's what the deal is, if we're waiting on Jerry Mack to finish his conference championship game and that announcement is coming Saturday and we get a presser on Monday and it's Jerry Mack, I'm sure I'll say, you know what, yeah, Jerry Mack can get it done. But if you ask me who's my favorite, I'd go get Dan Mullen. I'd make a power move. And I'd make folks like Cobb and the rest of rest of the media world say, holy cow, Memphis just bought out UNLV and took Dan Mullen from them. They're serious about this. I mean, I think that's what you were trying to say when you asked the Big 12 to take you with all your money.
Yeah, but if I'm Dan Mullen and my goal is to get back to a marquee Power Four job, I'm one more 10-win season away from doing that where I am at UNLV. So, like, I don't totally understand what the allure is.
Do you have better college football playoff access next year? I mean, sure, Dan can do that because of his resume. He can get it, and that was what was one of Walken's points. Sure, he can do that. Are you even hotter, Cobb, if you come to Memphis, where if you win the conference championship or maybe even just make the conference championship game in your first year but win it, you might be in a college football playoff that opens you up to even more. Now, maybe, again, Dan gets it from right where he is and says, you know what, next year, yeah, I'll win another conference championship. I ain't going to be I'm not going to be in a weakened conference with Boise State leaving. I'm not going to have better access than Memphis is. So I'm just saying, sure, you're right. But I'd also look at Memphis just like I would think a Heartline looked at South Florida. Right? You got Walken calling you the best group of five job. I mean, the access is better at Memphis, clearly the college football playoff next season. Keep in mind who just left the American. It wasn't just Ryan Silverfield. It was Sumrall. It was Golish. It was Morris. This thing's going to be a little watered down next year in terms of coaches coming in trying to rebuild. So my point is you got just as much right to that conference championship as anybody next season. And that's with all due respect to the service academies because they've been consistent. But with your level of resource, I'm just saying, I don't think Dan Mullen looks at Memphis and says, nah, there's nothing there. I think he looks at it, if he looks smartly, and Memphis is willing to pay him more, it's the same thing, Cobb. It's just, oh, I'll be there quick. I mean, it'll be a year or two, but it's can a CFP run open you up to more? Maybe he would. I mean, Dan's been to freaking Florida and Mississippi State. Look at the situation in Memphis now and say, nah, that's not enough. Well, you know, yeah, they're building it up. But this dude was raving when he was on ESPN. And I know it does, you know, how much does that matter now? You play into, no, it's not a final straw. He was raving about Memphis' facilities when him and Matt Barry were here, for one of those games they were on, comparing them to Florida and P4 schools, you know, at that point. I think maybe part of it taking a little shot at Florida, his old gig, and some of the places he'd been. But I think the other part of it about impress. So I think Dan Mullen, if you can correctly, wouldn't look at Memphis and say, now you're beneath me. I think you'd have to consider what it could open you up to if you made a CFP run next year that I don't believe he'll be able to make at UNLV. Sure, he can make some noise, win 10 games, win a conference championship, and that might get you a good one. But I think it opened you up to more here if you're making a CFP run in Memphis.
Yeah, I don't even necessarily know if it's like beneath him. I think he's pretty happy in Vegas.
Yeah, on the golf, there's a golf course
there.
And if Dan's the same guy and he's happy or whatever else, then that's fine. I'm not paying the money for a Dan Mullen that's going to look at Memphis. Maybe not, to your point, Jeffrey, yeah, not beneath him, but I got to do it my way because I am proven. No, he's got to be a worker. I'm looking for a Dan Mullen that's got a fire. And that's the point I made on my show. You're gonna talk to him and hopefully be able to tell that, right, how serious he is about this, or back to how serious he is about doing it his way, like Tubby Smith was, right? This is a critical time for Memphis. So if he doesn't have that in his gut, no, I'm not taking that risk and paying that money for. And if the first thing he's looking for is the best golf course here, yeah, no. But if it's Dan with a fire in his belly, like Lane had one to build back up, then I want him. That's again, you asked me who I would like.
Yeah, no,
that was the question there. This is not, this is not something that I think with what Memphis has claimed it wants to be, claims that frankly it should be. You're going into a newly renovated stadium that you control at a time where this thing might open back up in 2030 because of the television contract coming up. You got to be as hot as you can get. And if you can't get Dan Mullen, if you don't want to get Dan Mullen, whatever it is, then you better hope a guy like Jerry Mack or Charles Huff can get it done, because you cannot miss on this hire. It's critically important for the future of that athletic department that will go on long, in terms of the effects that will go on long after Ed Scott is gone and Bill Hargrave are gone. They got to hit this right, man. This is critical.
No, and I mean, Cobb, I don't know how you felt, but when I saw USF was hiring Brian Hartline, and man, I understand maybe that's not a household name for everyone that's just a casual college football fan, but like that made me go, damn, like, because Hartline could be very choosy as the Ohio State offensive coordinator. And the fact that he chose that, like, it shows me that USF is still very, very serious. And, who knows this next round of realignment? Like, can you afford to? Like,
that's why you have to be serious, Jeffrey. That's why have to be serious, because if it opens up, you have to have your brand as hot as possible. And so South Florida, to the same thing, I think Memphis, in terms of this search, had to do, go get you a CFP coordinator. You're like, why would they not be interested in you? Some of them, the Will Steins of the world are going to be special enough to go get the head job. But those other guys are going to look at you as an opportunity. Ryan Silverfield just got 30-something million from Arkansas. This is a prove-it ground. That's what the AAC has become. And from here, just like Summerall, just like Golish, just like Silverfield, just like Morris, you can flip it fast. And if South Florida is going to spend $8 to $10 million on its football roster, as the Athletic reported, it did, because it feels like it needs to make sure it's in position. It's got the new stadium, everything else. Then you better be willing to or doing it too, if you're going to claim to be again this best thing. And you can be. You need to grab it by the horns. And so again, that's not to say Jerry Mack can't get it done. Quite possibly he can be, but there has to be an urgency surrounding this thing. It can't be just, Memphis can hire another good football coach that doesn't make conference championships. You could miss this window forever if you are the same. If you are like that Big 12, Big 12 president or whatever it was that said, well, what's changed there? I mean, you got to get this thing as hot as possible so that if that window does open up and they say, you know what, Memphis does have some value, You're ready to go in. You cannot be the same. You cannot be a team that claims it should be competing for conference championships in a conference that should have been made three times the conference championship before Ryan Silverfield got the job. Never made it over in the 6 years he was there. You got to put your money where your mouth is. So hopefully it gets done, whether it's Jerry Mack Price or Dan Mullen Price.
Well, I was just gonna say, like, I agree. Dan Mullen would be a fantastic hire. He'd be great. And if golf is a concern, I mean, Jeffrey will sponsor him at Colonial Country Club. No worries there.
I think Dan strikes me as a Spring level, Creek guy.
Right? It can't be a Hugh Freeze level of 1-2 in golf, guys. I mean, let me make myself clear. I don't want that Dan Mullen. If we're getting Hugh Freeze in terms of that, because I don't think there's that fire in Hugh Freeze's anymore. I mean, that name got
No.
I'm hoping that Dan would be different and more like Lane in the sense that he's dead serious about this and maybe willing to work a little harder. Memphis has to have a guy that's going to understand the urgency, that's not thinking more about his career right now as he is, you know what, if I get this thing where it's supposed to be, if I show the urgency, then the rest of it's going to come. I need the fighter. I need a guy that's going to work. And if Dan's going to be on that golf course too much, then no. The answer would be no, you're spending too much money.
All right, Jason, we appreciate it, man.
Take care, guys.
Jason Smith of the Jason and John Show. We come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Cobb, for today's Don't Tell These Story, tell your story. Hugh Freeze is making those interview rounds, and I hope everybody's sitting down for this. Hugh took all personal responsibility for all the struggles that happened at Auburn. Let's be clear. This is not a beat-up Jackson deal. It's never always the quarterback. There are other factors. I mean, he missed a touchdown throw here at Oklahoma to a wide-open Cam Coleman. Those plays you've got to make to win games. And he'd say that, too. And there's also the Missouri game where we have, what, 8 drops? Then there's the moments in the Georgia second half where he misses open guys or the protection's not great. So it's a combination of all those things. But certainly, it didn't work out to the level that he nor I both expected from him and our team, and that's why I'm sitting here.
Hugh Freeze gonna Hugh Freeze.
By the way, I believe they averaged 35 points after he stopped calling plays.
Unbelievable.
Tiger fans, you do not want him. I'm telling you.
You do not want him. I had a close Memphis friend of mine text me the other day and say, what about Hugh Freeze?
No.
I just said, no.
No.
No, 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 no. No.
All right, Cobb, have a great weekend, buddy.
All right, man, you too.
David Cobb of CBS Sports. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for David, this is Jeffrey Sand. Thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kinch Show is coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
So you want to start a business? You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.